Praise the Lord. It's also a message that hopefully will lead us into a healthier church too, that the Holy Spirit will be able to speak to us and help us to be aware should the enemy even try to use us to try to bring division within the body of Christ. Amen? Yeah. That happens sometimes. And we need to be aware of it so that the enemy cannot use us as a weapon to destroy what God is building up. And even if one of our members becomes healthier because of it, it'll be a better person around them. People will be better around them also. God desires for a Christian, for Christians to get along. Say amen anytime you want on that one.
Amen. Amen.
Get noisy, people. Prepare yourself for heaven. You ain't going to be sleeping there. Listen to this. Several years ago, there was a problem on the Miami Dolphins football team. Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin, you probably remember this, had every reason as teammates to be friends, but they were not. Incognito harassed and bullied Martin. He called him a racial slur in a voicemail placed by every media outlet in the country. He threatened to kill Martin and his family. Incognito claimed all of this was just locker room talk. He said it's just the way the guys talk to one another in the NFL. Apparently, Martin didn't get that memo. He left his lucrative job, citing emotional issues and fear for his life. Though we don't know all the details, it appears as if Martin has some culpability to it as well. He was far too passive in dealing with Incognito's threatening behavior. As a teammate, it appears he should have expressed how troubling Incognito's threats were to him. These two men had many more reasons to get along than to have a toxic relationship. Consider all the reasons they had to be friends. They were both football players. They played on the same team. They had the same head coach. Both played on the offensive line. They had even played next to each other on the line. Both men were starters, and they both had the desire to win. Wouldn't you say that's a lot to be in common and to be friends for? Yet somewhere along the way, one or both of them forgot they played for the same team and began to treat the other like someone from a rival team. They forgot the enemy was across the field seeking to prevent them from winning the football games. It's a good story, isn't it? Just like those men, as we as church members have plenty of reasons to work together for the same goal. We're not in competition on anything. If you say to me, Pastor, I want you to go clean the toilets this week, I'll go clean them. Because I'm not in competition with anybody here. Anything that's got to be done in the church, or God opens something for you. If you see a ministry that needs to be done and the Holy Spirit speaking to you, let me know. We want to grow the kingdom of God. Amen. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. It says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Boy, that kind of connects us pretty good right there, doesn't it? Whew. Yet disunity and division is common among many churches today. Listen to what Paul told the church in 1 Corinthians 1:10. And this is speaking about the unity of faith of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Now I beseech, he's begging, he's urging, Paul is. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions, meaning split or gap within the body among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Isn't that something? The world will know if we are Christians or not by the way those who are believers act toward the other. The world's watching people. Did you know family members in your home are watching your life? Yeah. Those who don't know Jesus, they're watching how we treat each other, even husbands and wives and children, uncles and aunts, grandpas and grandmas, uncles and aunts, anyone in our families that are born again Christians, they watch us. They watch everything we do, how we respond, how we do things in our lives. They're watching. And especially how we treat people and talk about people when we leave the church building. If you got little ears in your cars, and they're listening to grandpa and grandma, mom and dad, anyone else, what they're saying after the service is over. If you're tearing the preacher down, if you're tearing somebody else down in the church, or you don't like this and you don't like that, those little ears are listening. And what's that do? That brings disunity. It brings disunity. When we become a Christian, God expects us to be part of his church, the body of believers. But when we become a part of his church, he wants us to be a unifying presence. You and I have the power to keep unity within the body of Christ and how we work amongst each others and how we talk amongst each others. Amen? That thing called unity. Michael Jordan said, talent wins games, but teamwork and intelligence wins championship. I like that. Sport teams with average talent can win championships. It doesn't matter how many superstars you have on a team if they can't play together as a team. Amen? Unity is important. It's critical, people. It's critical to a healthy church. And we at Crossfire pray that even within our prayer meetings, even amongst the leadership, even privately we should be praying, God, keep unity with the body, because God can move supernatural fast through us in unity. William Barclay said, the gospel cannot truly be preached in any congregation which is not one united band of brothers. Hebrews chapter 3:13. Listen to this. It says, but exhort one another daily. What did it say? It said exhort, didn't it? Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We're to exhort people. Everybody in here, God has called me to exhort you, and you exhort me, and you exhort each others. That's what God's called us to do. According to what Scripture says here, exhort one another daily, every day. He didn't say tear each other's down or gripe and grumble because somebody's doing this or doing that or not doing this or not doing that. He said to exhort one another, to lift them up, to encourage their hearts. When church members don't work well together, the church is weaker as a whole. Jesus says in Mark chapter 3:24-25, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. See, unity is vital to the health of a church. And I'm talking a church that preaches the word of God. I'm talking a church that gives God all the glory and all the praise and all the honor where he is lifted up. And that's where I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a bunch of churches that are lifting man up and playing games. I'm talking about a church that is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And those are the churches Satan wants to close down the worst. See, you can't get along without unity, people. We can't. Amen? And again, I want to remind you, people, if you did walk in or whatever, I'm not preaching this because I think there's disunity. I'm preaching it because I want to warn us as a body with other people that are preaching the same sermon. Even this last week when I listened, I told you. Romans chapter 15:5. Now the God of patience and consolation, meaning comfort, grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. We're to be like-minded, aren't we? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. And that means, meaning to be separated unto Christ and to walk in him. That's what it's talking about. Wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And you know something? I take that to mean that the Holy Spirit is the great giver of unity. It's the Holy Spirit that brings unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So again, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, Paul says, "I urge you and I beg you to do something." What is that? What is that? To live a life worthy of the calling you received, endeavoring to keep the unity, right? How do we do that? How can we do that? We place the needs of others above our own, right? That's hard to do sometimes. We don't insist that we have the rights that need to be met. Listen to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 8. I always, you know something? You already know me. I love giving scriptures, don't I? Because that's really the main theme of this church anyway. It's the Word of God, not me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man unto his own things, but every man also unto the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. People, we are to humble ourselves. We're not in competition. We're not trying to see how many people can see me or you. We're to humble ourselves before Almighty God. Second, we're to be gentle. And the idea here is that of meekness. Meekness is not weakness, is it? It means to be humble and gentle towards others and willing to be submissive and obedient to the Lord. How we respond one to another, does it discourage or exhort? How we respond to each other's. Is it exhorting someone, lifting them up? Or is it discouraging them? In regards to how a meek person would treat others, they would definitely be humble and gentle, both in their words and their actions. And by the way, I say this, and a lot of times you hear me, and I'm going to keep saying it. When I'm preaching to myself too. I listen to me. Sometimes I'm the only one. Could I have you come up here, please? No. I appreciate that. So be it, right? See, in regards to how a meek person would treat others, they would definitely be humble and gentle, both in words and in their actions, how we treat each others. Both Moses and Jesus are referred to in Scripture as being meek. Amen? You read that. Third, we're to be patient. A better translation is long-suffering. Long-suffering is when having or showing patience in spite of troubles, especially those caused by other people. The idea is that of a long fuse as opposed to a short one. I watched a video this last week. An older dog and a puppy were interacting. Yeah, the puppy is hyperactive, constantly nipping the older dog, constantly at him, jumping on him, pulling on his ears, doing all kinds of different things. He was just giving that their older dog some problems. But out of the immaturity of an inherent puppy, that's what they do, amen? What does the older dog do? Well, he just laid there. That older dog, he just laid on the floor, and that little puppy was jumping all over and pulling and dragging and biting on him. And the old dog was just kind of looking at him nonchalantly, you know, and saying, or whatever he was thinking. He just lays there and takes it. No matter what kind of behavior that puppy exhibits, the older dog, he's long-suffering toward that puppy. He's patient with it because he knows it's a little puppy. Fourthly, we're to hear, or excuse me, we're to bear with one another in love. Are you getting this? It means that we put up with other people's weakness and shortcomings. We're to put up with them. Because, see, God brings all these diverse people into a church as he's building his church. All diverse personalities and talents and all kinds of things. And just think, this God, the creator of the world, who put all this world together. Bob, you and I are talking about the creation of even how God formed the seas to eat up the oils that are seeping from the ground. Just think, this God does the same thing in bringing people together, and he's doing the work amongst us, even though we're all different in many, many ways. We're all different. And not just with certain people, but with each others. And we do it out of Christ-like love. Amen? We put up with other people because we're to be like Jesus. What is Christ-like love? Paul uses the term agape in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Charity, which meaning love, suffers long and it is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunteth, meaning being a braggart. Not itself, is not puffed up, meaning prideful. Doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. That means is not embittered by abuse or insult or injury. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. I like that. Endureth all things. Fifth, again, Ephesians 4, we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Endeavor translate the idea that we should try hard to do or achieve, attempt diligently to keep the unity of the Spirit. It's something that is important to maintain within a body of believers. We do it through the bond of peace. The word bond signifies being tied together. We're tied together by the power of God. See how important each one of us are? There's not one person sitting in this room today that is less important than another or more important than another. We are equal in God's eyes, and we all have a purpose, and we will understand when we stand before him, when we see him. We're going to realize he was making each and every one of us in his likeness, whether we think it or know it or understand it. He is working even right now. Isn't that incredible? Doesn't that get you excited about Jesus? It sure does me. Because that's what he's doing. Each member, you and I included, must contribute to the unity of the church. Each one of us. You have a responsibility as a church member and as an attender if you're not a member. I threw that in there because some people say, well, that doesn't mean me because I'm not a member. Well, you're a church attender if you're here too. You're important to the body of Christ. You are to be a source of unity. Never be a divisive force. Don't allow the devil ever to use your life like that. People have, through my life and other churches too, people have come in and they've come in and they've, for whatever attitudes, they complain, they murmur, they try to bring division. And those people is what you do. You gently, like Scripture teaches, ask them, you know, keep your big mouth shut. If they're trying to tear a body apart. That wasn't very gentle, was it? But, you know, that's... I got some work to do. If someone approaches you with a thought or an idea, you know, be respectful to them. Be respectful to them. Even if you disagree with them. Even if you disagree with them, be respectful to someone that is trying to do something for the kingdom of God. Maybe the person that is being disrespectful ought to be doing something for the kingdom of God. But at least somebody's doing something, even if you disagree with it. We're to treat each other with love and respect in the body of Christ. You are to love your fellow church members unconditionally. That doesn't mean that you agree with everyone all the time, because we don't, and I won't, and you won't with me. I'm sure through the years you've heard me say things up here that you totally disagree with. But we don't tear the church apart because of it, do we? And I'm not going to agree with some of your stuff. You're not going to agree with some of my stuff. But we respectfully love each other's and exhort one another and learn to get along. See, there's people in here that might not believe in the pre-tribulation. Rapture, there you go. Okay, so I'm older than you. And we may not agree on that, but that's okay. The only thing I'll have a real fight with you with, if you say Jesus is not the only way, you're going to have a big struggle with that. I'm going to stand my ground no matter what on that one. But if you disagree with me when the rapture is going to happen, who cares? It's like the frying pans in our home. It's all going to pan out. Amen? It does mean that you are willing to sacrifice your own preference to keep unity in the church. When you could have said something, you didn't, because you say, praise God. That's my brother and sister, and they're doing their best. I don't agree with it, but praise the Lord. That exhorts. And if it is something that could be disrupted, then we still gently come together and have a meeting. Amen? We seek unity. We demonstrate love. Colossians 3:14. And above all these things, put on charity, meaning love, which is the bond of perfectness. Unity is really important in our church. And each one of us need to do our own part. Gossip in other negative talk. Gossip is bad. Gossip is destructive to the church. And few things can destroy the unity of a church. Nothing like gossip. Nothing like gossip. Gossip is when we talk about people behind their backs. We pass along tales that might or might not be true. The goal of gossip is to damage someone's reputation. It seeks to do harm to the person being gossiped about. When I've talked about people, and I have, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me, because if I'm talking about somebody to someone else, even if it's a family member, and I'm tearing that person down, and I'm, for whatever reason it is, but I'm tearing them down, or I'm criticizing them, or whatever, even if it's to my own wife or daughter, family, whatever, they're going to follow suit. And they're going to think the same thing. And I can bring disunity even within my home, my church, my family, wherever I'm at, my job. See, it seeks to do harm to the person being gossiped about. And there are two important ways to handle gossip. Number one, don't be a source of gossip. Number one, amen? Don't be a source of it. Don't let somebody drag you into it. When I lived in Fargo one time, somebody called me on the phone. They wanted to start gossiping about somebody in the church. I said to him, instead of talking about them, why don't we pray for them? Well, I got to go. That's a good way to... If you have any doubt whether something is gossip or not, don't even mention it. Keep your tongue under control. Keep it under control. We all have to learn that. Ephesians 4:9 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. There's things that each one of us might be able to say about somebody else that maybe we don't even like or we don't even appreciate, but we're still the body of Christ. And again, I want to mention, that's why God brings us all together into a room like this, all of us, different personalities and people from around the world. He'll bring us together, and he's doing a work. And we don't tear each other apart when that happens. Yeah. Say, Lord, is that you working on me? Maybe it's not the other person you get. That's the problem. Lord, are you working on me? Because when I think of this person, I get angry and I want to lash out. But Lord, help me not to do that. Help me through the power of your Holy Spirit, saying, Lord, is there something in me that needs to be perfected to be like you right now? And I lift that person up or persons, and I pray for them right now. I pray for that ministry right now, that, Lord, you touch it and bless it. And let watch the Holy Spirit move and keep unity within the body of Christ when we're all like-minded. Amen? Number two, if someone begins to share gossip, gently rebuke them. You don't have to be harsh in a response to do that. Kindly say that you would rather not hear any gossip and you hope it wouldn't continue to spread. Let them know that. And if there are a few more members like you, word's going to begin to travel. Hey, don't say anything in that church. These people love each other. Because, you know, the enemy can bring people in from the outside also to bring division. And he's brought different people through the years in here that have come in, and we gently had to say goodbye. Because the enemy would love to tear a church apart, a church that's on fire for God, a church that preaches the word of God, a church where God is doing great works around the world. And we need to, as the body of Christ, be thinking about that. Other church members will know that gossip is not tolerated. The congregation will be a place of joy and unity. I don't know about you, but I always get a kick out of when Amy says, everybody turn around and shake hands and greet each other. It's so fun to see the people going around enjoying each other's company. You know, it's joyful. Because some of us walk in here with heavy hearts, and it just takes one brother or sister in Christ to come up and say, hey, boy, I'm glad to see you here today. Give me a big old Christian Holy Ghost hug here. Or maybe like Mark and I, we give a Holy Ghost slap in the face. No, today I hit your belly, didn't I? Yeah. See, that's family. That's family. The best way to defeat gossip is not to listen to it. Proverbs 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Another destructive element is constant criticism. Some people are just never satisfied, no matter what you do. Never satisfied. There's always something. Always something. Something is always wrong. They're known as hypercritical people. They're excessive in their disapproval of people and programs. They condemn and they complain all the time. What a miserable way to live a life, huh? What a miserable way to live. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what we're to be focused on. Praise the Lord. See, gossip and overly critical statements, they come from the evil within our hearts. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, and it is ultimately going to come forth eventually. And then we have forgiveness and unity. Unity will not happen if the members have unforgiving spirits. If we have unforgiving spirits. Too many times members have anger and hurt because of something another member or leader has said or done or failed to do. Listen to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Wow, we're to do the same thing Jesus did. Amen? That's hard to do sometimes, though, isn't it, when it's you? It's hard to do. But bear with me. I'm going to read this parable because I think it's a really good one that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 35. Are you still with me? Everybody, just wave at me if you would. Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Make sure you said praise the Lord when you did that, though. That's not for me. There you go. It's always for Jesus. It says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That means non-ending. We're to be willing to forgive at all times. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that they had, and the payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me to do so. Shouldest not the, it doesn't say sold on, it said desires me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Whew. We got to forgive even if we don't want to. Thank God for Jesus. Even when we don't want to. But if we are truly in love with Jesus, we're going to do it, aren't we? I've heard testimonies even within our body of different people here where you've had poor relationships growing up with parents and you've held anger in your hearts and maybe unforgiveness, and where you've come forward and you said, I know I should forgive, and I could see the pain that it was causing, but they knew they had to do it because they know that their Lord said, you got to forgive them. Even if they're in heaven, you got to forgive them. To say, God, I forgive them. Not because I want to, but because you want me to. And I want to forgive them. That's when we begin to be like Jesus. And how more important it is when you and I in this congregation, and for those who aren't here today, I wish could have been here too, that when issues happen within a body like this and other churches throughout the land and in the world, that when bodies have issues, that we come together and forgive one another. Amen? Amen. There are three important, and I'm almost done here, three more important principles about forgiveness in that parable. The first principle is that true forgiveness goes beyond any reasonable human limits. I've got hard enough time forgiving someone seven times. I don't know about you. By then I've exasperated with that person and ready to be finished with them altogether. Jesus is saying, don't keep score. Really. He's telling us that we can't place limits on forgiveness. The second important principle is that we have to remember just how God has forgiven us. Think about that. When I think of the cross and hanging on the cross, my sins he took upon himself and he forgave me. Yeah. And he wouldn't had to, but he did. In all the evil I've done against him in my life. And he said, I forgive him. Father, I forgive him. How much did this servant owe this king? 10,000 talents. One talent was approximately 6,000 denarii. A denarius was a daily's wage. 10,000 talents would therefore be the equivalent of 16.5 years wages for 10,000 men. We could say that that servant represents you and me, amen? The king represents God. And when we realize just how completely God has forgiven all our sins, it ought to produce an attitude of forgiveness toward other people. If the Holy Spirit is working in you and I at Crossfire this morning and any of these scripture is touching your heart, I don't know about you, but I sense it even while I'm preaching it, that God expects me to forgive. To forgive. Because I know when I do, I'm being like Jesus. The last important principle in that we should forgive others as completely as God has forgiven us. What happened with this forgiven servant? He went and chased down another of the king's servants who owed him, the already forgiven servant, what would amount to a paltry sum which compared to the debt the king forgave. When his fellow servant asked for mercy, the servant that had been forgiven by the king had had him thrown in jail. However, the other servants of the king saw what happened, and they immediately, like I read, went to the king to tell him about it. The king was extremely angry at the first servant and sent him to prison after all. The king said, shouldn't you treat other people the way that I treated you? Jesus forgave me. He expects me to forgive others, whether in this room or anywhere else, brothers and sisters in Christ, whether past, present, or future. God expects me to be like Jesus. And I need his help to do it. Yes. I thought sure I'd get a whole bunch of amen. Because some of you know me very well. I need God's help, people. Amen. I need the power of the Holy Spirit every day of my life to walk the walk that he expects me to walk. Especially standing up behind this pulpit to preach his word. It's expected even more. But he also expects it of you as much. Here's what Jesus wants us to learn. If you want to be forgiven by God, you have to forgive others. Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. What a God. But if he forgive not, men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours, your trespasses. We need to take that seriously, people. Could you believe that standing before him and he said, I can't forgive you. You had an unforgiving spirit. I can't forgive you. He said it. That's his word. Each local church is made up of imperfect members and people and imperfect leaders. Church unity is torn apart when members refuse to forgive. Christ loved us so much that he died on a cross to forgive us, and now he's forgiven us, so we must forgive others. Brothers, would you prepare for communion, please? Thank you. Today, the dark lord of this world, Lord of the Rings, I think he's called the dark lord of this world, still shows his power when there's discord among believers. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal. Did you hear that? He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus says, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. When you and I walk in unity, we have an abundant life. How about a home? Can you imagine a family that has disunity among the husband and the wife within the home and there's disunity? It's not joy. There's not happiness, is there? There's you that are in here that experience that. There's not any joy. There's not anything that's happy about that home. It's only when there's unity where there's going to be joy. You may start passing out, gentlemen. Not, I don't mean on the floor or anything. I mean just the emblems. We have to remember, people, that we, as they're handing out the emblems too, let's examine our hearts. If there's any unforgiveness or anything you've seen in your own life that Satan has used you to bring disruption to anyone, whether it's here or anywhere else, let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and put it under the blood first. Holy Spirit, right now, move amongst this congregation, and Lord, let them sense your presence and your love and your great forgiveness in their hearts, because that forgiveness you've given us, there's nothing compared to it. If you hadn't done what you did on the cross, we'd all be destined for an eternal hell, one that we deserved, but Jesus forgave us. Let the Holy Spirit help you to examine your heart, and just anything that comes up that shouldn't be there, that's wouldn't be like Jesus, put it under the blood and say, Father, forgive me. Wash it away. Wash it away. And he says he is faithful and just to forgive. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for unity, Father, within this body. Lord, we understand there can be disruptions and things like that, but we soon bring it under the blood and we bring unity and forgiveness to the matter. Help us to truly love one another, Father, truly to look and see how important our brothers and sisters are, whether in this building or other churches. People that love you, Lord, they're our brothers, they're our sisters in Christ. Lord, help us to love them. Help us to see how important and valuable they are. And when they do, we'll see how important we are to you, Lord. And Father, for us, it struggles so hard in our spirits because we've been hurt so deeply, maybe by a fellow believer and even people within our own homes, Father, that hardness starts there. But Father, right now, Holy Spirit, let it just be softened and turned to forgiveness. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. We're just waiting on a few people here yet. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Shonora ki andara kele ando kotara kele ando. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Scripture says, for I have received, let's hold up our bread, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. You can crush that if you want or break it. And said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's partake. Lord, we thank you for your broken body and for what you did on Calvary's cross. Lord, we remember that it was you, and Lord, we remember that you ask us to remember you, Lord, that it was you. After the same manner also he took the cup which he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let's all partake. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you. Lord, help us to remember Jesus in every facet of our lives. As we take the bread and the blood, the symbols, Lord, and let it manifest in our lives, Father, to be more like Jesus. And to remember Jesus, what he did, that he came to earth and he died upon a cruel cross and he rose again from the dead. And Lord, that he forgave us of our sins. And Lord, we thank you for that, Father. We praise you for that. Now, and Lord, I pray for everyone here, that you touch every one of their homes, that, Lord, that you will put in each one of our hearts at Crossfire Assembly, that we will be a church of unity, that we will be an example to those around us that we are like you, Lord. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one in unity. And Lord, we and you and us, and that we are one. We, the believers, are all one. Lord, let the Holy Spirit continue to help us. Should we be tempted to say things or to be disagreeable in things, Lord, help us to remember that we are able to keep our mouths shut and our thoughts pure according to your word, and to exhort one another daily. And as we do, Lord, I pray you touch every home and bless every home financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. And Lord, let us be salt and light in a dark world, Lord. And Lord, when a name in a church comes to our hearts, let us lift that person up before your throne. Whether we're having issues or not, Lord, let us lift them up and pray for them, Lord, that you touch their lives. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Lord bless. Have some good fellowship and praise the Lord. You still here? Praise the Lord. I like it. I think I'm going to start coming to church with two messages. I love it when I don't see people leaving right away.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.